Man, there's a lot of questionable places on Earth, like the Bermuda Triangle or Area 51 or even this place. But none of these places can compare to the questionability of high school. And so inevitably, there's some weird-ass kids in that joint. Like, you gotta be careful who you talk to, bro, because you approach the wrong student and shit. You're getting cussed out by a pack of hyenas in social studies class. And usually, I never care what other people do. Like, you do you, you know what I'm saying? But when I gotta sit through that shit for 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, shit, can you stop doing you for like 5 minutes, bro? And speaking of annoying kids, there's always that one kid in class who's constantly gargling on the teacher's meat. Like, we'll be finishing up the last class on a Friday, and of course the teacher's pet's gotta say some shit like, Mr. Cumminson, is there no homework for us to complete over the weekend?
Believe it or not, I'd rather not spend my weekend marking your shitty-ass little essay, so...
Don't worry, Mr. Cumminson. I can help you mark essays all weekend long.
Whoa. Isn't that against school policy?
Well, what's against school policy?
Riding Mr. Cumminson's dick with no license?
Hey, you're not allowed to swear.
And of course, the class clown. And man, I really just gotta commend him for his work. Like, it's not an easy job being the class clown. Dude threw out his entire GPA, future, and probably got his shit whooped on multiple occasions just to keep the class entertained. Like, I'll be rotting in English class, about to fall asleep, until the class clown starts cooking the teacher for no apparent reason.
And next we're looking at adjectives. Does anyone have any good examples?
Jason.
Bald as shit?
Oh,
well,
shit.
No, that's actually three words.
No. I wasn't even using an example. You're just so goddamn bald, it's distracting.
God, hey, damn. You know what they say. The more hair I lose, the more head I get.
No.
I don't think that's true, Mr. Clean. Because you got more hair than you got hoes. And that says a lot with your Caillou looking ass.
Just go to detention, man.
And you know we got the Redditor, bro. Now, don't be deceived. Redditors can come in all shapes and sizes, especially the extra large size, and even the extra extra large size. But regardless, they all have the same programming encoded into their brains. They're either talking about a video game or they're quoting a meme, bro. And I got a little piece of advice to any Redditors out there. I don't care how funny that shit may be in your head, if you have to verbally describe what a meme looks like, for your sake, just don't say it, bro, because I promise you that joke will not hit.
And next up we got Darren presenting a slideshow on why Elon Musk is poggers. Whenever you're ready.
Me standing in front of the class waiting to present.
You know that meme where Mike Wazowski is standing there in an awkward fashion with his hands by his side and he's got like two eyes.
Now, there really is levels to being a Redditor. And don't get me wrong, they're not all that bad, but the ones that got that I paused my game to be here tea paired up with the beer belly neck beard combo, that shit is lethal. And if you press E to interact with one of these bad boys, you'll get stuck in an endless time loop hearing about Among Us memes and hentai. Now, the band kids are like the Redditor's second cousin. Like it's all the same shit, but bro just knows how to play a tuba. Now, on the opposite side of the spectrum, we got the dudes who touch grass. The athletes. Now, I feel like these dudes got a bad reputation when it comes to the jock stereotypes from the movies. Because the ratio of athletes shoving nerds in lockers is probably like 1 in 75. And the one was most likely just having a bad day. Speaking of bad days, getting shoved in a locker really has a way of ruining your day, and you really gotta feel bad for the nerds who have to endure this type of harassment every single day. Well, actually, it's only every other Tuesday after their football practice. Yeah, but you shouldn't have to be shoved in a locker at all. You shouldn't have to be. That's grammatically incorrect. It's actually supposed to be.
There's really just three types of smart people. The first dude, you wouldn't even be able to tell bro's smart because he's just lazy as fuck. He'd be acing every test using 1% of his brain power. Like, he's got that Elon Musk potential, but shit, he just doesn't really feel like being a billionaire today. Or on the other hand, we got the weirdly political and argumentative smart dude. This guy used up all his IQ points on logic and reasoning and completely forgot to upgrade his social awareness. Because this is the kind of guy that everyone mutually agrees is just annoying as fuck. Like, you can't do shit around this dude without him trying to start an argument.
Yo, Chains, you think I sink this half-court shot?
Bro, there is no chance you make that shit.
But, you are incorrect. No chance implies that statistically there is a 0% chance that it goes in, which is wrong, as others have made this exact shot before. Billy.
Truthfully, there's a chance for just about anything to happen, even though the chances may be slim.
Well, that's cap, because there's no chance for you, bro.
No chance for me to what? You gotta be more specific.
For you to get some bitches!
And some people are just smart, and they still have the ability to be a normal functioning member of society.
A lot of these people are chill as fuck. Like, they can teach you shit you don't understand, carry you in group projects, and if they're goated, they can just bless you with the homework.
And this is not the same is getting your homework from the class clown or the athlete, because this shit is actually correct.
And next, we got the other dudes who touch grass. The stoners.
Why are you looking at me?
There's always a dude posted up in the back of the class who's visually fried as fuck. You'll commonly see him posted up with a snack of some sort, and you know they never forget the Bev.
Now you don't want this dude's homework, because I promise you we will just have a bunch of doodles with some mushrooms and this graffiti S, and somehow these motherfuckers will manage to take a multiple choice test and get every answer wrong. Like, it's actually kind of impressive when you think about it. But besides that, they're just cool people.
But I'm not gonna lie, I can't really say the same about the hot Cheeto girls, bro. Like, these girls put in an effort to be as loud as possible. Like, Lord forbid, if one of these girls breaks one of their long ass nails, it doesn't matter if you sit on the opposite side of the class, you're gonna hear about it. You're also gonna hear them chewing those hot Cheetos, cause they be lip smacking like crazy.
Speaking of smacking, there's always that one kid in school who simply enjoys smacking motherfuckers. And at my school, it was Jordan Johnson. And if you see my high school fights video,
that's why you don't mess with me, yo. I'm Jordan Johnson.
Or my high school dances video,
I'm Jordan Johnson.
You would know, Jordan Johnson keeps a solid ass record, but it's at the point where bros fought so many people that nobody really even fucks with them. Cause now it's like either you fought Jordan Johnson or your homies fought Jordan Johnson, and either way, it's fuck Jordan Johnson. But all bias aside, you just got to appreciate the top tier, high value entertainment that JJ brings to the school. Like, after a long day of calculus and chemistry, there's nothing like watching a dude get Batista bombed in front of the whole school. And speaking of the whole school, 75% of the whole school are straight NPCs. And there's nothing wrong with it. It is what it is, because honestly, I love you for that. I couldn't be happier to share the school with you, my man. Cause I'm not gonna lie, I don't think I would survive a school without NPCs. The sheer amount of Redditors, hot Cheeto girls, and teachers' pets, fuck, I'd rather be homeschooled at that point. But all jokes aside, man, every student plays a crucial part of the high school experience. So remember to appreciate everyone.
If you saw this video, you would know my mom has caught me lacking baked beyond belief before. And after that experience, I really changed my ways. I mean, I was grounded for over a year. So in that time, I decided to get my life together. I started working out, eating healthy, getting straight A's in school. Okay, that's cap, but straight B's in school. Okay, B's and C's, but that's besides the point. The point is, I got my ass beat for coming home zooted, and I never smoked again. Until I did. So, this incident takes place with the man, the myth, the legend, Bob. So me, Billy, and Bob are chilling at Bob's crib when Bob says the holy words. Are you guys trying to smoke? Yeah, bet. And keep in mind, the rest of my homies had been smoking regularly. But your boy was fresh out of the slammer. I mean, I was pretty much on probation at this point. And on top of that, I hadn't smoked for over a year, so my tolerance had gone to shit. So with all that being said, the smart decision was to simply not smoke. But shit, if you know me, I am not one for smart decisions. In fact, I was one for stupid decisions. So I was out here hitting this hoe like Chris Breezy. I was puffing this joint like Wiz Khalifa. When honestly, I should have been patient and just taking my time, because who knows what my tolerance was at this point. So when it starts hitting me, it hits hard. But the homies were closely monitoring me, because they knew if I got caught high again, well on probation, I would be serving 20 to life. So they're out here checking my eyes, checking my heart rate, checking my pulse. And the diagnostic was, I think you're chilling, bro. But progressively, I was getting higher and higher. So as we're there watching the most goated cartoon, The Amazing World of Gumball, I start floating. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this before, but sometimes when you get mad high, you just forget that you even exist. And you use 107% of your brain power to just think. So I was out here floating away, thinking about some random bullshit. Yo, it's crazy that everyone in the world is either named Quandale or they're not. Wait, what if I'm in a simulation? No. What if I'm in an animation being drawn by some dude on his computer for a platform of entertainment? And a bunch of people know what I'm thinking right now. Hold up. Is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit? But I'm brought back to Earth by a text message. Oh man. Mom. Please come home for dinner at 6. Damn, I gotta be home for dinner at 6. Oh shit, what time is it? It's 5:30. Nah, we can't let your mom find out you're cooked. So Bob whips out his emergency hide how baked you are kit. Boom, hits me with the eye drops to make my eyes less red. Douses me in cologne to cover up the smell. And apparently eating oranges also helps slow down your high. So I leave Bob's crib and as I'm walking home, I'm brainstorming all the possible scenarios. Either I play this off like a smooth criminal and nobody ever finds out, or I could get caught and I could get sentenced to 30 years. So as I walk up to my front door, my entire future is dependent on how I play this shit off. I take a deep breath and I ring the doorbell. And my brother opens the door. The door was unlocked, dumbass. Fuck, I'm off to a bad start. So I walk into the kitchen, casual as hell. Oh, Chains, how was your day? Oh, it was good. How was yours? Yeah, good shit, we're doing good. Oh, it was good, thanks for asking. Wow, Mom, this mac and cheese looks succulent. Fuck, why did I say that? Who the fuck says succulent? Oh, why, thank you. I switched the recipe up a little bit. Just be casual, be casual. The mac and cheese, it's good. Thank you. What were you guys doing at Bob's? Fuck, what do I say?
Twister.
Oh, a twister?
Yep, twister.
What, wasn't it just you, Bob, and Billy?
Yep, just a good old game of Twister with the boys.
Damn, y'all are gay as hell.
Yep. not to being gay as hell. I just meant yup in general. Like, you know, like, yup.
Chains, are you feeling okay?
Oh fuck. She knows. What do I do?
A little word of advice. Whenever you're in one of these situations, just cap and say you're tired.
Like, it works for everything.
Are you high?
No, I'm just tired.
Damn, bro. Are you depressed?
No, I'm just tired.
Help! Help! I'm drowning!
No, I'm just tired.
So while I was backed into a corner, I was pretty much on trial facing life. I just used the good old,
I'm just really tired. I couldn't get much sleep last night. I think I could even take a nap right now. But thank you very much for dinner.
And call me Michael Jackson,
cause your boy was a certified smooth criminal. And I moonwalked my high ass all the way into a nap. And goddamn, that nap hit.
Listen, I am no criminal. In fact, I would consider myself a good Samaritan. Type of dude who helps grandmas cross the street. Type of dude who might even pick up some trash now and then. And absolutely not the type of dude to go to jail. Now, I know for a fact I would never go to jail. Not because I never break the law, but because I'm fast as fuck. In the streets, they used to call me Usain Jr., bro. So there was no way you would catch me getting arrested by some 50-year-old man with a beer belly and a donut in his hand. I would be out here crossing bro up, hit him with a little body faint, leave him in the ER, bro. But with that being said, I needed that speed. I needed that speed to get out of all the dumbass situations I put myself in. Cause I'm still no valedictorian, but back in grade 9, I was nominated stupidest dumbass, and all the runner-ups were my homies. So evidently we had some stupid ass ideas. Like I remember this one time we were all looking for something to do. And if you're from a small boring city like mine, you would know there's not many fun things to do besides smoke and break the law. So what did we do? We smoked. And then we broke the law. This story takes place at Billy's crib. So it's just me, Billy, and Bob. We're chilling playing PlayStation or whatever. And Billy's like, damn, I'm bored as hell. We should go do something. Yeah, facts. What's something fun we could do? Shit, we could have some girls over. We got no hoes, bruh. Holeless. Shit, I forgot about that. I mean, we could get some food. You got money? You're broke, bitch. Damn, you're right. Wait, we could smoke. You got grass? Yeah, I do actually. Oh shit, bet. So we all go outside, roll up the grass, and get baked. Then we go back inside and hop back on the PlayStation. Damn, I'm low-key still bored. Yeah, let's have some girls. You still have no hoes, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could have a bonfire. Oh shit, that's not a bad idea. Genius. So you think this is a good place? Nah, it's too out in the open. What about here? Nah, it's too close to the school. What about here? Oh shit, this is kinda nice. So we were looking around, we gathered up the best sticks to build the fire, and we set them up quite nicely. We lathered those bad boys in some gasoline, and apparently my high ass didn't know how fire and gas worked. So I leaned over the fire, and when I go to light it, for a second my life flashed before my eyes. So I quickly jumped back, but my friends and I are baked to perfection. So they're like, yo, dude, are you good? Yeah, man, I think so. Are my eyebrows still there? You never had eyebrows. Oh, okay. So we're all just staring at the fire in silence, thinking about random things. Damn, I need me a 4-piece Popeyes combo right now. The meaning of life, it must be to evolve and become the best person you can be. God damn. Bob's mom is so hot. And as we're just chilling, watching the fire, it was pretty much sending out a smoke signal, and anyone in the vicinity probably saw it. And soon we started hearing a siren in the distance. Guys, it's definitely just an ambulance. I mean, it's getting kind of loud, don't you think? No, we're chilling. Fuck, bro, I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm way too high for this right now. So Billy and Bob just leave, and I'm thinking, they're just being some scaredy cats. They're gonna come back. It's literally just an ambulance. Right? Man, it's getting kind of close. Oh shit, they're definitely coming for me. And then the siren just stops. Oh, I guess they're not coming for me. And then I look behind me, and I make direct eye contact with two officers. My heart literally stopped. Oh, you're fucked. Hey! I grabbed the gas, and with all the adrenaline I had, I literally jumped on the fire, stomped it out, and hauled ass. Hey, get back here! I'm being chased by these two cops, and I am red-handed as fuck. I mean, I'm holding a liter of gasoline, a lighter, and the kush while I'm baked as hell running from these cops. And they were on my ass, bro, because let's be real, I could have outrun these fat asses any day of the week, but I'm at a major disadvantage here. Like, I have to run carrying the can of gas while I'm zooted, bro. So sheer speed was not gonna do it, but I had to get them off my tail, or else I was going to jail. So I take a sharp right, and then I'm faced with these two paths. I hit a quick left, and as soon as I get out of their sight, I slide into these bushes smooth as butter. And I was scared shitless. Man, I can't go to jail. I dropped the soap way too much for all that. Holy shit, they're right there. Where'd he go? We almost had him. And we would have had him too if your fat ass didn't eat so many damn donuts. Shut up, Robert. That's why Dave fucked your wife. As soon as it was clear, I booked it straight to Billy's house. Oh, guys, it wasn't an ambulance. No shit. And I think it's safe to say I was paranoid for the rest of the night. Yo, I really appreciate you guys, so I'm gonna be following back a bunch of people on my Instagram, so go check it out. Peace.
So, 50,000 word essay, 3 worksheets, pages 5, 6, 9, 273, 655 in your workbook, and you'll need to make a TED Talk you'll present in front of the whole school. What do you want, Chains?
Well, how much time do we have?
Everything needs to be handed in at 12 p.m. on Thursday, or you'll get a zero.
Wait, Mr. Cumminson, that's in 2 minutes.
Actually, it's 1 minute now. Any other questions?
Can I go to the bathroom?
Fuck no. Sit down, Jeremy.
Oh, okay. Man, imagine being a high school teacher, bro. Like, as soon as you hit the ripe age of 5 years old, they throw your ass into school, and you just don't make it out until you're, like, fucking 65. And when I was younger, I always used to wonder, like, why is Mr. Cumminson so angry all the time? But as I got older, I realized I would be pretty fucking pissed if I was in the exact same spot I was 40 goddamn years ago. Which brings me to the first type of high school teacher, Mr. Angerson. This is the type of motherfucker whose wife divorced him 7 years ago and he takes his heartbreak out on the students.
What was that?
Oh, nothing. I just had to sneeze.
Oh, so you think it's okay to just sneeze in my classroom now, huh?
Well, no. I just needed to sneeze.
What if I just broke into your house and started sneezing on shit, huh?
Well, no. That's just...
Matter of fact, get your ass up here.
Yo, this isn't the 1950s. You can't just...
Linda, come back, please.
Now, I don't know how Mr. Angerson continues to keep his job, but it feels like this dude's mission is to ruin the day of every student that walks into his class. Like, he'll be putting in extra effort into his test to make them as confusing as possible. The type of motherfucker to make a multiple choice test with the first 4 letters all as A. Bro will have me changing the correct answers into the ABCD strategy. Next up, we got Mrs. Talkinson. Some teachers really just don't give a fuck about teaching, bro. I mean, Miss Talkinson over here, she really just wants someone to talk to, for real.
And that's when Franklin D. Roosevelt became president. You know, actually, in high school, I had a friend named Franklin. He was a really nice guy. We used to go to the movies together and stuff, and, then he went to jail for multiple hate crimes.
Like, by the end of the class, you'll know her home life, her family, how she takes her anger out on her children. So me and my classmates would recognize the fact that if we could just keep Miss Talkinson talking, we wouldn't have to do shit all class.
So in 1938, Germany invaded Austria.
Yes, Chains.
Miss Talkinson, have you ever been to Germany?
Oh my goodness, you would not believe what we did in Germany.
And for my personal favorite teacher, we got Miss Cakinson. You know, the teacher that is caked up for absolutely no reason. Like, she's got that dump truck for what?
I mean, I'll be failing all my classes, rocking with a 1.5 GPA.
But I walk into her class... Fuck, all of a sudden I turn into a...
Miss Cakinson, actually, you forgot the homework for today.
Oh my god.
Shut up. Oh, why, thank you, Chains. I almost forgot.
You're welcome, Miss Cakinson.
All my homework is done, all my tests are aced, and at any given chance...
Oh, shoot, my computer isn't working. Does anyone know...
What do you need, Miss Cakinson?
And I'm there. Miss Cakinson, if you're watching this, just give me a chance, please.
And next, you know we got Mr. Questionable. Ensign. Now I know what you're thinking. Bro's name is a little bit of a mouthful, and that's because he may or may not have a mouthful of little boys. Okay, listen, I'm not here to point fingers at anyone. But if I was to point fingers at someone, it would be fucking him. Like, I'm really not trying to accuse anyone of anything, but there does come a point when some things this man does gets a little questionable.
Maya, let me help you.
So you put your hand like this, and you...
OMG, Chains, you will not believe who just followed me on Instagram.
Oh shit, was it at Chains for real?
No, it was Mr. Questionable Ensign.
Damn, brother, this test was hard as fuck.
Yeah, bro, literally everyone failed that shit.
Facts, bro, what did you get?
Yo, I got 22%.
What about you?
Oh, I got 103%.
High school bathrooms have to be one of the most unorthodox places in the entire world. Walking into the bathroom, you have absolutely no clue what to expect. And honestly, that's the best part. I remember one time I had walked into the bathroom, you know, to take a piss. And when I had opened the door, I was not surprised to see some motherfucker getting his head shaved bald. And these dudes were so casual about it too. Yo, what's up? What up? And you know, it's cool and all to be able to be entertained while you're trying to release your bodily fluids. But I mean, sometimes you just want some peace and quiet. Because you truly never know when something like this can happen to you. And that is precisely why I'm scared to ever shit in the school bathroom. And listen, my school bathroom has always been bad, but these TikTok trends that keep popping up made the bathroom situation so much worse. Yo, look at this TikTok. That's kind of funny.
1 week later.
Damn, someone took the soap dispensers. Who snatched the blow dryers, bruh? Where the fuck did the urinals go?
1 hour later.
Hold up. Who hit a lick on the bathroom? These TikToks had the school announcements like,
"Guys, I'm begging you, stop with the devious licks."
If you see anyone hitting a devious lick in the bathroom, report it to the office immediately. And I'm not gonna lie, this trend was low-key pointless. Like, once you go home, fuck are you gonna do with the broken blow dryer, bruh? But there was one TikTok bathroom trend that was fire. So, what is the square root of pi? Chains. Yeah, can I go to the bathroom? Be quick. Am I tripping or did I just hear... Yeah, bro. Bathroom functions are a 10 out of 10 TikTok trend. Hey, man, if you're still in high school, I recommend trying it. Anyways, I've obviously never been in the girls' washroom before, but I be seeing way too many TikToks filmed in there. Like, is it just a normal thing for girls to go to the washroom while other girls are just in there hitting the renegade? Like, I wouldn't know, but that whole situation seems a little bit awkward to me. Wait, renegade. And when it comes to most public schools, the washroom is like the black market of the school. So there's always some dude trying to sell you something. Yo, you need anything right now? I got that Gandalf OG, that Alaskan Thunder, some purple monkey balls, got those Girl Scout cookies. Hey man, just give me a second, I'm kind of busy right now. I got that Sour Diesel, that Granddaddy Purple Deluxe. Trust me, this stuff will blow your socks off. And every once in a while, someone will bring boxing gloves. All of a sudden, the school bathroom turns into the octagon. People are getting knocked out, dropped, and getting hit with the guillotine chokehold. But as soon as a teacher walks in...
My very first time getting a taste of that enchanted broccoli. It was a very special time in my life. In fact, it shaped me to become the stick man you see today. Now, if you've seen this video, you would know my very first time being baked was also my first time being drunk. Cause you see, what happened was I had ate some magic brownies and they didn't kick in for a while. So I came to the solid conclusion that, bro, these edibles ain't shit. So I chug some vodka and next thing I know, I'm fucking obliterated. And through me mixing these two substances for the very first time of trying each, I was unable to truly take in the full experience of being zooted. Cause I was fucking slumped. So fast forward about a month after the edible incident, me and Bob were trying to see what being baked really felt like. Keep in mind, we were in grade 7 at this point, and at Stickman Middle School, you got +3 clout points if you ever smoked some grass. So naturally, we were fiending for some Mary Jane, and we had just the person to call. Yo, Billy. Hey, what's up? Me and Bob were trying to smoke some marijuana.
Shut up. The feds might have tapped my phone, bro. Chill.
Oh, shit. My bad. We're trying to blow some pipes.
Hey, yo,
pause. What the fuck?
We're trying to inhale Satan's spinach? I don't know.
I bet. I got some gas for you boys. Meet me at Stickman Park at 6 p.m. sharp.
Okay, bet.
And soon enough, it was 6 p.m. sharp, and we were posted at Stickman Park. The homie Billy pulls up fully equipped with the gas.
Yo, we gotta find somewhere discreet to do this.
Oh, let's do it in the trees over there.
Alright, that works.
So we walk into this little forest with a bench in it, and Billy whips out the pipe.
What the fuck is that?
It's a pipe. I took it from my sister's room.
Bro, are you sure you didn't accidentally take her dildo instead?
Shut up, bro. Lots of people smoke out of these bad boys.
I don't know. There's just something about the way that it's shaped.
Are we smoking or not?
Yeah, we're smoking.
And then Billy takes out a plastic bag with a thug ass.
Yo, take a whiff of this shit.
And at this point, I had never got a sniff of the za before. So when I did take a whiff...
Damn, that's some strong shit right there.
Hell yeah.
And I got it from the plug for 50% off.
Damn, bro, this is gonna get us high as hell.
So Billy packed the pipe and handed it to me. He whipped out the lighter and said, suck it.
Hey, yo, pause.
Oh my, alright, inhale.
Oh, I got you.
And there it was, my very first hit of the Zaza. And I was coughing up a storm. And as Bob was taking his hit, I was sitting there like, am I high yet? Like, is this what it's supposed to feel like?
Nah, you gotta smoke some more to get baked.
So Billy packs some more into the pipe and hands it to me. I inhale. But still nothing. So me and Bob are looking at each other like,
bro, are we like invincible or some shit?
I think so.
And Billy's like, no, you have to inhale and hold it in your lungs for as long as possible.
So I try it.
I inhale, I held it, and then I was coughing up a storm again. We repeated these steps for like 20 minutes and still nothing.
Now, me and Bob didn't know shit when it came to the topic of devil's lettuce, so we were just taking Billy's word for everything.
Yo, don't worry, it'll hit you in like an hour.
So we walk back to Bob's crib, and sure enough, an hour goes by.
Yo, are you high yet?
Nah, I still feel normal. What about you?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
So we waited and waited all night, and nothing happened.
Now, a quick scientific analysis of the situation.
What had happened was, Billy's plug saw that he was 13 and realized he could make a quick buck off him. So he had given him 50% off, however, he gave him straight stems. Now, if you're not sure what this means, let me break it down for you using, enchanted broccoli. Now, we all know that broccoli is a nutritious vegetable. However, a wide majority of the nutrients are packed directly in the broccoli crown, leaving the stem of the broccoli with very small amounts of nutrients in comparison to the top part. This means that eating the top part of the broccoli will indeed make you big and strong. However, the stem itself lacks the capacities to, quote unquote, make you big and strong, if you know what I'm saying. Remember, eat your broccoli.
So essentially, me and Bob were smoking that doo-doo pack, smoking straight Reggie.
So Bob and I felt as though we needed some redemption, and we knew just the perfect day to do it. April 20th, 420. So today was the day we would really know what being zooted felt like. So me, Billy, and Bob went over to our homie's house, cause we knew this homie in particular would have the facilities to celebrate April 20th. So we knock on his door, he lets us in, and the first thing this motherfucker says is,
so, are we smoking fat today or what?
Hey, yes, sir.
Alright, follow me.
So we followed the homie into his mom's room, and when he opened her closet, she was equipped with every kind of grass you could imagine. He snatched a few pre-rolls and we went to his backyard. He lit up the first J and passed it straight to me. And after all these years, it felt as though my entire life had led me up to this very moment. I took a hit and got my real first taste of that Mary Jane. So we passed around the J's for a bit and my eyes and mouth started to dry up. So I'm like, alright, I'm gonna go get some water really quick. And the moment I stand up, it all hits at once. I just remember everything going into slow motion, and it felt like I was watching myself in a movie. Almost like it was a third person perspective. So I head into the homie's bedroom and I lay down on his bed because I was really trying to comprehend what the fuck was going on. Cause my frame rates were dropping, my time perception was fucked, and I was hungry as shit. So when Billy, Bob, and the homie walk into the room with snacks, bro, I was a munch. And so for the rest of the night, the four of us just chilled out, ate some snacks, and enjoyed our very first time with that enchanted broccoli. Bro, in life, there's so many things you can cheat on. Like, you can cheat on your diet, you can cheat on your girlfriend, you can cheat on your barber, you can cheat on your girlfriend with your barber. Shit, you can even cheat on your taxes. So compared to everything else, cheating on a little math test is not that bad. Like, compared to your taxes, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit.
Hey, we've all cheated on our barber, but you cannot cheat on this math test.
Oh, shit. Damn, bro. I know we've all cheated on our girl, but you cheated on me, dog.
Oh, shit.
Babe, I know we cheated on our taxes, but you cheated on me?
Oh, shit.
Listen, in our entire lifespan, we've all cheated on something. Whether it's a game of Uno, your girlfriend, or your other girlfriend, it's usually not worth it, because congratulations, bro, you won the game of Uno, but now you have to look yourself in the mirror knowing you're a cheater and a liar that has three Uno cards up his ass. But when it comes to school tests, cheating is 100% worth it, bro. And I'm not condoning cheating at all, but let's just think about this logically. Like, why are we at school in the first place? We're at school to learn things and skills that we can use in real life. Now, are we really using trigonometry in real life? Well, effectively, this depends on what career.
Hell nah, bro. It was a rhetorical question. We are not using trigonometry.
But you know what we will use? Creative thinking, communication, social awareness, logic and reasoning, and most definitely our fucking phones. All five of which are strongly developed through the act of cheating on a school test. And on top of becoming a better human, better grades, it's the ultimate win-win. Your teacher feels like they did a good job teaching, your parents think they didn't raise a dumbass, and if you're good enough at cheating, you might just fuck around and get into Harvard. But once again, I am not condoning cheating, you know, just throwing that out there, you know, But yeah, as I was saying, you shouldn't cheat, right? Like, it's bad. Cheating is not good, but you do know what they say. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Facts!
Yeah. Wait, no. What?
What?
So if cheating in school is so valid, why doesn't everyone do it? And that's because if you get caught, let me tell you, bro. This story takes place in grade 9 when me, Bob, and Billy were some straight freshmen, bro. And coming into high school, you get your shit absolutely clapped by double the workload. But lucky for me, Bob and Billy were both in my math class, which meant we had triple the studying power. But we also had triple the fucking around power, and we used that shit to its maximum capacity, bro. But you know what they say, the more you fuck around, the more you find out. And when we got our first test back, shit, we found out. We found out we're a bunch of dumbasses who are about to fail grade 9 math, and we couldn't let that shit happen. So for the next test, we studied extremely hard. Off George's math test during the test. I mean, we were cheating with maximum efficiency. Like, we had a whole assembly line where Bob would look at George's test, throw up the number, and Billy would pass it along. And all of a sudden, our grades are making the meanest comeback Mr. Mathinson had ever seen. I mean, life was great. We went to school, cheated, played some Fortnite, succeeded, browsing history, deleted, and then repeated. I mean, we were just living life with no worries until
the polynomials test.
I walked into this test thinking, psh, I know what a polygon is, I should be chilling. And when the teacher handed out the test, I was bewildered to see all these fucking letters on my test. Look, like, is this math class or English, bruh?
Yeah, I think I got the wrong sheet.
Huh? No, that's the right test.
Well, what's the deal with this?
I mean, that's just polynomials.
Dog, I can name every single polygon, but who the fuck wrote Elon Musk's son name on my goddamn math question?
Yeah, chains. That's what we call a variable. It's called a variable.
Yeah, I know. I know that. And I knew it before you said it, too. Cause we learned about it in class.
Yeah, right. Right.
Now, this would have been extremely bad if we didn't have the ultimate method we like to call George. Because George was one of those dudes who loved studying. Like, he'd wake up and go to school, then come home and study till he dropped, bro. Like, if you kidnapped George's whole family and told him you'd only give them back if he answered this equation, this motherfucker would just be happy he got more homework, bro. And because of this, we had a little deal going with George. If he let us cheat off his math test, we would teach him how to be a normal dude. We were teaching this kid how to dap someone up, how to use slang, and all I'ma say is, this motherfucker should have just stuck to math, bro. Yo, Chains, sauce me a bite, big dog.
I got you.
Shit, Chains, you just busted in my throat, gang.
Hey, yo.
George, what you just said right there sounded gay as hell. Type shit. So as I was saying, I'm looking at this math test with more letters than numbers, and it would have been raps for me if it wasn't for the George method. So I'm looking at Billy, Billy's looking at Bob, and Bob's looking at George's test, and we're absolutely flying through this polynomials test. And about halfway through, I look up to get the next answer, and I get jump scared by Mr. Matheson mean mugging my shit. And you can see it in his eyes. He knew exactly what was going down, and he took me, Billy, and Bob's tests and took us to the hallway.
What do you guys think you're doing?
Polygon. I'm pretty sure it's like polygon.
Why did I see you three throwing up your fingers during our test?
Well, you see, Mr. Matheson, we're gang affiliated.
No, bro, what the fuck?
All right, you three, cut the shit. I caught you cheating. All three of you are getting zeros on this test, and I don't want to see it happen again, or I'm contacting your parents.
All right, it won't happen again. You're right. We're not in a gang, by the way.
Yeah, I know, buddy.
Well, shit.
Yo, what happened to you jits? Are you chilling?
Bro, Mr. Matheson caught us lacking real bad.
Yeah, he gave us all zeros on the test.
Holy shit, it sounds like Mr. Matheson just absolutely railed you guys. No cap.
And all three of us proceeded to absolutely shit the bed on all of our next tests. And it was at the point where our grades were on life support and our math final was coming up. So if we didn't get our shit together for this final, our parents were about to put us on life support with that leather belt. So we put our cheating ways in the past and locked in, bro. We were focused in class, and after, we went to Bob's crib and kept studying there. And then it clicked. We all finally understood polynomials. And so the next day, we walked into class confidently, knowing we were equipped with hours of studying. We lock in, sit down, and then the teacher gives us our test. And as soon as we lay our eyes on that very first question of the test, we were fucked. Now, don't get me wrong, we could do polynomials all day long, but we forgot this was a final. Meaning, we forgot to study numeracy, exponent laws, rational numbers, linear relations, inequalities, geometry, probability, and statistics, and in other words, we didn't know shit. And before I can even make eye contact with the boys to tell them I'm fucked, these motherfuckers are already hopping back on the George method. And listen, bro, as you can tell, I'm no mathematician, and I did not study probability or statistics, but from what I'm seeing at this very moment, I have two options. I can do the test legitimately and have a 99% chance of failing grade 9 math and getting my shit whooped while simultaneously having my entire family realize they raised a dumbass who won't go anywhere in life and is destined to draw Stickman for all of eternity, or I could cheat. So we're out here hitting the George method, and I'm being extra careful, cause if we get caught lacking twice, it's complete and utter raps for us, bro. So we're grinding out the method, then the teacher looks up, boom, we're locked in on our own tests. He puts his head down,
back to the method. And there was a few times in there I thought we were cooked, but we just kept it pushing. But still, we were low-key running out of time, and I had a whole page to complete. And God bless this random-ass dude's soul, because he raises his hand to ask a question, and as soon as the teacher turns his back on us, it's crunch time, bro. It's like double XP right now. Bob was out here throwing up these numbers so goddamn fast, I thought he turned Crip for a second. And then the bell went off, and we were all done, bro. We hand in our test, and then it was time to wait. A few classes go by, and then the teacher hands out our math finals alongside our report cards. And nervous as hell, we all check our report cards, and we all passed, bro. So we all go home, happy as hell to show our parents our report cards and the fact that we passed. Chains, you got a 54 in math? Yup, Mom, I sure did. You raised one hell of a smarty pants. Oh, fuck. But at the end of the day, even if we all got our shit whooped, maybe the real treasure is the friends we made along the way. Yo, homies, I'm bricked up right now.
Oh, no. Fuck.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Let's go.
Now, I don't know why, but there's just some things we all did as kids. And it's not like any of these things actually make sense, but we just did them. Like, did you even have a childhood if you never dug a hole to China?
Timmy, we're almost there.
Dang, just 2 more minutes. I mean, kids are just some dumbasses, bro. Like, who's gonna tell little Timmy he's not digging through the Earth's core with this little rinky-dink ass shovel? But to be completely honest, out of all these dumbasses, I was probably the stupidest kid known to man. Like, I remember when I was 5 and I was taking my annual shower, you know, and all of a sudden I had realized I was a fucking superhero. It was just the way the water was flowing out of my fingertips. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And I was fucking hyped. I mean, from this point on, my new name was Waterboy. Wow. I was pretty fucking stupid, but not everything I did as a kid was completely impractical. For example, I know you used to run up the stairs on all fours, bro. Like, this was just the most efficient way to get from point A to point B. I used to feel like a fucking cheetah going up those stairs. In fact, going up the stairs in this manner was so efficient, I asked myself, well, why don't people go down the stairs like this? And shit, I figured out why. Or bro, on a hot summer day, I would wait for my mom to whip out the fan. And as soon as she turned that bitch on, me and my brother would turn into the Migos. We were dropping hit after hit. Like, we were spending so much time talking into this fan, our mom was a little concerned.
Raindrop.
Drip.
Drop top.
Smoking no cookie in a hot box.
Cookie.
Fucking on your bitch here. Dot, dot, dot. Cooking up dope in a crock pot.
Pot.
Hey guys, you've been there for 6 hours. I think it's time.
Ma, let him cook.
Bad and bougie. Cooking up dope with the Uzi.
Hey!
And speaking of cooking, when Mama Chains would whip up some good old Kraft dinner, I had no choice but to put a piece of KD on each prong of the fork. Like, that shit just simply tasted better, bro. Or whenever I was walking on a sidewalk, I would strategically plan out each footstep to make sure I was not stepping on a crack. Now, the funny thing about this one is... I still do that shit, and I know some of y'all are gonna think I'm weird for that, but riddle me this. Who's gonna be laughing when your mom's in the ER with a broken back, bitch? Now, I feel like at one point or another in your life, you just had to check if the fridge light stayed on when you close it. It's really just a part of growing up. Like, one day you'll go grab some milk for your Honey Nut Cheerios, and you'll be like, hey, wait a minute. Or what about when you were bored in the car and you start doing parkour with your fingers to the window? I used to hit some crazy combos and then I would go to finish it off with a backflip. Or have you ever fucked around in the living room and you broke a vase or some shit?
Whoops.
You know, you get a timeout or you receive a little whooping. Now, coming out fresh off that whooping, this shit could only go one of two ways. Either you ball your eyes out and play with this fucking thing for hours, or you would plan to run away, bro. That was it. That was your only options. And I had a few of those moments where I was ready to dip. I would pack an apple in my trusty Minecraft sword for the trials and tribulations to come. And then I would look my sweet mother in the eyes and realize... She's making mac and cheese tonight. I can't leave yet. And you have simply not lived if you never hit a DS under your pillow at night. Like for me, the Mario grind was 24/7. There was no sleeping. But I'm not gonna lie, I had some close calls trying to pull that shit off.
Good night, Chains. Sweet dreams.
Good night, Ma. Love you.
Love you too.
fuck.
And goddamn, bro, in grade one, we would be doing anything but schoolwork. Like, we'd be poking holes in our erasers, injecting heroin with mechanical pencils, drawing this shit, and breaking this shit off mechanical pencils. I'm not gonna lie, you still gotta keep me away from those things, because if I see them, I will break them. And yo, I'm not gonna forget you motherfuckers who used to put glue on your hands and let it dry so you could peel it off. Like, bro, you're weird for that shit. I'm not gonna lie. But I did used to love crafting the biggest marker sword you could and have a duel. And I don't know why, but I always used to carry around this tiny ass pencil. Like, I never actually used it, but I always had it. And I used to flex it too, thinking it was cool or something. Yo, shorty. Take a look at my pencil.
Oh my god, why is it so tiny?
Tiny? It's not that small. And bro, tell me as a kid that you never had the random urge to just do this shit. And you just stay there. I don't know why. And I'm not gonna lie, I have to contribute my entire professional stickman career to drawing on the windows as a kid. Like, Mini Chains was whipping up some masterpieces. They were on some Picasso level shit, which is exactly why you see this high quality stickman content.
Now, I really don't have many fears, but there are four things that I would say I'm truly scared of, which are sleep paralysis, being flipped over while I'm in a porta potty, this thing, and public speaking. And honestly, I can't even really explain why I'm scared of public speaking. I mean, sleep paralysis, you'll have demons chilling in your room while you can't move. The whole porta potty thing, that's just some traumatic shit. And this thing is fucking terrifying. But there's just something about talking in front of more than 5 people that has me shitting bricks. Like, my brain will start showing me the absolute worst case scenarios possible. hi guys, my name is Chain.
Get off the stage, loser.
No one likes you. hi guys, my name is... So I volunteer at daycares because I really like young kids. I love young kids. I mean, not love, like they're only 4 years old. No, like, I'm not attracted to-
Sir, hands behind your back.
That's why I'm scared of public speaking. And even worse than normal public speaking was school speeches. And if you saw my going to school high video, you would know I have a pretty bad record when it comes to speeches.
Sorry, Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Yeah, it changed. Don't worry about it. You can sit down. You can just go tomorrow. It's alright.
In fact, after I failed miserably while trying to present my speech well zooted, some motherfuckers was flaming me for it. So you know me, I had to get my get back. So when speeches came around next year, I put my heart and soul into that shit. And it wasn't just a speech, it was a spoken word, so it all had to rhyme. I mean, I was whipping up some heat. I was writing bar after bar like Kendrick. Shit, I had to have a fire extinguisher on standby while I was writing that shit. And I was never the dude to actually study. Like, I would start learning while I was taking the tests. If Y equals MX plus B, then who invented the Eiffel Tower? Uh-oh, shit, I guess Y equals MX plus B. I mean, even though I did bad on all my tests, maybe I can just get a job drawing stick men or some shit. Anyway, so I never studied, I never did homework. But when it came to this spoken word, I had something to prove. I mean, it felt like motherfuckers was preying on my downfall. So I actually spent my own free time at home practicing and perfecting this spoken word. So by the time I had to present, I was prepared as fuck. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was still shitting bricks. But when I got up there,
Chains, get up here, and don't stutter like last time, alright, buddy?
He's gonna stutter for sure.
Don't get on here rapping, I'm stacking, making it happen.
Okay.
I've been perfecting this speech while Yajits was lacking.
You don't want beef with me, I put you on a tee, I call that shit fashion.
Okay.
I'll put you in a box like some cereal. You'll get crunched, I'm the captain.
Captain Crunch.
Now let me stir it up like some mac and cheese. I want 100% like curry from the three. I'm talking all A's, no B's. Bitch, I'm blessed like a sneeze blue. Honey's like the seas. I'm too icy, I might freeze cause I'm him. I'm not talking slash he.
That is
spitting right now. I went bonkers, bro. In fact, I went so bonkers, the teacher volunteered me to go present my speech to the entire school. Now, usually I would be way too scared to public speak in front of that many people. But right now, I'm all hyped up on how bananas my speech went. Plus, I spent all that time perfecting it. I might as well share the heat with the rest of the school. Alright, next up is Chains with a spoken word on Don't Get On Here Rapping. Don't get on here stacking. Rapping. Stacking, I'm happing. You don't want beef with me because, quite frankly, I will put you on a t-shirt. You could call that fashion. Thank you guys for having me. I fucking fumbled. I folded under the pressure, bro. With the entire school watching my fear of public speaking absolutely crush me. And that is the reason why I have a fear of public speaking.
Man, family functions have the weirdest dynamic, bro. Like, how have you known these people your entire life, but have still never gone past the surface level conversation? I mean, let me know if it's just my family, but every function is the same. The whole gang links up, and everyone just asks the most generic small talk questions to each other. Hey, how's that new place you bought? Oh yeah, you know, it's good. And how's the kids doing? Oh, you know, they're good. Oh, and how's the wife? Man, fuck your wife. I don't want to hear any of these NPC conversations, bro. And let me know if I'm getting too specific here, but what about that one uncle who goes by the name of either Bob, Jerry, or Dave? And this dude will just always be saying the most out-of-pocket things imaginable. Oh, how's your daughter Jane doing? Oh, Jane's always been hot, eh?
Bob, she's 15!
This uncle be at the family function thinking it's Coachella or something.
Bob, another beer's a little bit excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, football!
I'm the youngest person in my whole family, which for whatever unspoken reason, it just means everyone has the go-ahead to flame the living shit out of me. Hey, Chain, still no girlfriend, huh? I guess you're not too good with the ladies there. But I make one joke back and I'm the bad guy. You don't seem too good with the ladies yourself, seeing as your wife just divorced you and she took the kids with her. Am I right? Not only do they feel free to roast your whole existence simply because you were born last, they unanimously decide you will be everyone's personal butler. Hey bud, go get another beer for me. Alright, yeah, for sure. Thanks. Now you better get started on mowing that lawn. Grass isn't gonna cut itself, am I right?
Oh my god, bro.
And coming into these family functions, you would think your mom is your closest ally. But as soon as she gets the chance, she will expose your biggest secret for a little bit of parent clout. You guys will never guess what I found under Chain's bed yesterday.
Oh my god, what is it?
Yeah, tell
us. What? No way.
Sometimes when my family tries to make small talk with me, they just miss the boat completely. So, buddy, how's those swimming lessons going for you? The swimming lessons I took when I was 5? Yeah, right, those ones. They're good. I finished them a little while ago. Oh, is that right? Good for you, buddy. And bro, don't get me started on those recycled ass jokes. Well, looks like you got your workout for the day.
Oh, looks like you've gotten so tall. What are you feeding this kid, am I right? Oh, Bob, I think you got some food in your beard.
Oh, don't worry, I'm saving it for later.
Ah, good one, oh, Bill. Oh, Bob, he's so funny.
Thank you.
I guess everyone at the function must have Alzheimer's or something. Because these jokes will have them cracking up like they haven't heard the same joke the past 15 functions. But cousins, man. Cousins are the saving grace of family functions. Without cousins, you would have no choice but to participate in the tomfoolery of small talk. I'd be walking in the function just praying to see that one cousin. And bro, I have a family function survival tip for you. You always have to stay within arm's reach of either your siblings or your cousins. Because whenever some bullshit goes down, you just give each other the look and flee the scene. And because when you get caught lacking on your own at the function, you get jumped. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Damn, you look high as hell. A little bit too high. But bro, are you good?
Damn, I've been there, bro, but don't worry. I know just what you need.
Wait, what's that over there?
Shit, are you still high? Damn, that usually works. You really gotta be high as shit, huh?
Alright, listen. Just chill out, bro. I know you probably think you're ODing on Mary Jane, but trust me. You can't. In fact, scientists say you would need to smoke at least 20,000 joints in 15 minutes to OD. And trust me, once you hit the 16,000 joint mark, your lungs will be looking like dehydrated SpongeBob.
Oh shit, speaking of dehydrated SpongeBob, you're looking like dehydrated SpongeBob. So here, drink some water. You gotta quench that cottonmouth, and water's always a safe bet to flush out some of that unneeded THC. But you know what tastes better than water? Some goddamn motherfucking lemonade. So find the nearest lemonade stand and absolutely ravage that shit. Leave no lemons to spare because science says lemons contain limonene, which is a compound that can counteract the THC by calming your brain. Another solid way to calm down from a crazy high is sniffing some peppercorns.
Whoa, wrong line, bro. You're trying to get less high. You're supposed to sniff this one.
Okay, now how you feeling?
Damn, still too high?
God damn, how much did you smoke?
Shit. Oh, I know just what you need. A dap pen.
No, listen, this is no regular dap pen. This is a CBD pen. Now when you take a hit of this bad boy, the CBD compounds in your brain will sit in the chair the THC would have sat in, meaning the THC can no longer infiltrate your brain and convince you there's somebody in your walls. Plus, the CBD can help you chill out a little bit. So here, take a hit. Oh fuck, wrong one. My fault. Here's the CBD one.
Okay. Now before I keep telling you everything you should be doing, it's pretty important to hit you with a few common mistakes motherfuckers make when they get too high. Do not attempt any of the following.
Call an ambulance.
Call your mom.
Smoke more.
Eat oranges.
Watch horror movies.
Cook with oil.
Start a fire.
Going into a public setting where speaking is necessary.
Spend your life savings on food.
Operate heavy machinery.
Convince yourself you're the only real human person on the planet and everyone else is really just an AI programmed to pretend like humans and everyone you've ever known wasn't even really a human, including your mom, your brother, your homie, or driving.
Don't drive.
Now, generally, if you avoid all these dumbass ideas, you should be chilling. So now that we got that out of the way, the best way to ride out a high is to gather all the finest munchies in the game, which include, but are not limited to, ice cream, sweet heat Doritos, Cheetos, pizza, some Mickey D's, milkshakes, Reese's peanut butter cups, pizza rolls, chicken strips, any sort of fruit, and of course, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And once you've prepared a meal fit for champions, you can then throw on some absolutely amazing top tier YouTube content. Or if you're really trying to get invested, a cartoon. Now choosing a cartoon is gonna feel like one of the most important decisions of your life, so I'm gonna let you know right now. Just choose anything, bro. Your high ass could sit and watch Cocomelon for hours, so just choose a safe bet, like the most goated show of all time. The Amazing World of Gumball. Now, once you've chosen your show, stop thinking so much and let the show do its thing. Because in just a few minutes, you're gonna be invested. And when I say invested, I mean you will invest your entire consciousness into the show. Like shit,
you'll be in the show. You'll be out here posted up with Gumball and Darwin, and you can even chop it up with Gumball's fine-ass mom. And before you know it, you're 25 episodes deep, and then you step back and realize everything's gonna be all right.
Aw, can I pet your dog?
Yeah, for sure.
Aw, what's your name, little guy?
His name's Ben.
Ben?
Aw, he's so cute. I just wanna punt that motherfucker.
Man, these intrusive thoughts I be having make me wonder whether I belong in maximum security prison or not. Like, I don't even mean to, but the thoughts that pop into my head are so menacing that I can't even say this shit on YouTube, or this video will get taken down. Then I'll be canceled. Then my whole channel will get deleted. Then I'll be thrown into a psych ward, and then I'll be put on the fucking death penalty. Like, these thoughts that pop into my head are so alarming that they make me want to beat my own ass, bro.
Hey, man, why'd you just sock yourself in the face?
Oh, well, you see, I was about to push that unsuspecting toddler into the deep end for no apparent reason, so...
Yo, this guy's about to assault a minor.
Hey, you can't do that!
But it's not like every single intrusive thought I have is bad enough to get me convicted. Like, whenever I'm walking across a bridge, I have to use every cell in my body to fight the urge of just tossing my phone into the water. Like, there is literally no benefit from doing that shit, but there's just something inside of me that would feel so much satisfaction with just seeing my phone dissipate into the water. You know, maybe you get that urge because it would just be satisfying to do some shit that's out of the box. Some shit that nobody else would do, just to break the simulation a little bit. Cause I could be having the best day of my life. I could wake up, get the meanest pump in, hop in the shower, eat the most fire breakfast, and draw the most pristine stickman I've ever drawn. But as I'm casually walking beside a bunch of cars that are going 65 miles an hour, I'm still gonna have the urge to just throw myself in front of a car, bro. And it's not even on some emo shit. Like, I want to live, but I also want to dive into some oncoming traffic. But at least I'm not the only one who does this. Like, other people do this, right? Like, it's normal, right? But half the time, an intrusive thought will just be to do some goofy shit. Like, you're just forced to imagine the consequences of what it would look like to start throwing it back on a Tuesday at 2:41 p.m. And every once in a while, you'll just be chilling, and you'll witness a motherfucker fall to the intrusive urges.
What are you doing? Get off the table, bro.
Shit, he let the intrusive thoughts win, man. Now, I don't even know if these count as intrusive thoughts or not, but as a dude, when I'm walking down the street, I'll just be going on with my day chilling. Then all of a sudden I see a car and I'm like,
if I don't make it to that tree before this car, I'm gonna die.
Aw, shit. Honestly, these kinds of intrusive thoughts are kind of motivating. Like, it's the same thing as having a hype man at the gym, except instead of that positive reinforcement, if you don't get those 3 extra reps, you're gonna die. It's like whenever I'm at the gym hitting those Bulgarian split squats, I'd be having mental wars with myself. Oof, that was a good set, man. I think we're done.
5 more reps or you're a bitch.
Damn, good shit. All right, I think we can wrap it up.
10 more, pussy. Who the fuck's gonna carry the boats?
I told you we should have stopped, bro.
15 more or you like dick.
Now that I think about it, there's a good amount of people in prison right now who just succumb to their intrusive thoughts. Because intrusive thoughts are just like that demon on your shoulder telling you to do the most devious shit possible. And I know there's a bunch of motherfuckers out there who just listen to that little guy. Hey, man, you see that lovely old lady right there? Yeah, you're gonna hit her with a mean right hook.
Well, what's in it for me?
Nothing.
Shit, alright.
But to be honest, there is a handful of times where I've let the intrusive thoughts take over. One of the most memorable was way back when I was 5 years old. Me and my older brother were just dicking around, doing some 5-year-old shit. Keep in mind, this story takes place before your boy had even developed consciousness. So I was just a little munchkin, doing munchkin shit. Then suddenly, this urge came over me. It was unlike anything I'd ever felt before. It was dark. Irresistible. And for no apparent reason, I bit my brother's arm. And this was probably the most satisfied I'd ever felt in my entire life. But it was followed by shame and regret because I had no excuse. Ow, why the fuck did your dumbass just bite me, bro?
I
I felt like it.
And one of my lowest IQ moments of all time took place when I was in grade 8. It was goddamn sewing class, bro. And I remember I was having a particularly miserable day, so I was just going through the motions. We were all gathered around this big table with our sewing machines, some fabric, and some scissors. I remember I was working on some shitty little big chungus stuffy. But on this particular day, the sewing machine cable was looking mad thick and juicy. And like I said, I was having a bad day, which is exactly why the intrusive thoughts decided to catch me at my worst.
Do it.
What? To do what?
Oh, you know what to do. You're the one with the scissors in your hand, buddy.
How did these even get in my hand?
Now cut it. Cut it, Chains.
No. Why the fuck would I?
The wire exploded with smoke and my heart dropped so fast, bro. And everyone around the table just stares me down. And I'm thinking I can somehow cover this shit up like I didn't just take some fucking scissors and snip that shit like an umbilical cord. Maybe I could convince the teacher the cord snipped itself or some shit. But as I look down at the scissors in my hand, there's literally a chunk missing from the scissors. They look like they survived World War II. But barely. The scissors are all charred up and shit, and just like that, my plan of convincing her I didn't cut it went out the fucking window. You take one look at the cord, one look at the scissors, and one look at my dumbass face, and you could piece together exactly what happened. So my sewing teacher walks over looking pissed as hell, and she tells me to go sit in the corner. So I take my charred scissors and sit in the corner like I'm a 5-year-old, but to be fair, I made a 5-year-old decision. Like, I was in grade 8. I was 14, bruh. What kind of 14-year-old cuts the cord to a sewing machine because he felt like it? Like, if my 14-year-old son did some shit like that, I would tell the kid I'm going to get some milk and I'm calling it quits. I would have to have another kid and try it all over again, because that kid is going nowhere in life, man. So as I'm sitting in the corner realizing I'm a disappointment, it was one of those moments where you fucked up so bad you don't even feel any emotions. I was just sitting there straight faced like, well, fuck me. It was really one of those moments where you just want to stop existing. So after the class ended, the teacher came over to me and she said, Chains, why the fuck did you cut the cord of the sewing machine? No, Miss Sewingson, you gotta hear me out. Okay, this better be good, Chains. The cord was looking mad juicy and the scissors just teleported into my hands. I don't even know.
You did what?
Ah, Mom, it was the intrusive thoughts that they told me to do.
Oh, I'm about to intrude that ass.
The fuck?
April 20th, 420, the day when everyone puts their differences aside and they just hotbox the Earth's entire atmosphere. Man, what a time to be alive. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have gone to one of those 420 conventions before, but goddamn, these motherfuckers be getting higher than Buzz Lightyear, bro. Like, at this point, they aren't even baked. They're fucking deep fried. They just be walking around hotboxing cities at a time. And anyone in a 500 foot radius is gonna start feeling the effects of that Mary Jane. Like, I remember my first time going to one of these things and I was still a minor with an O. However, I had done some pregame before the convention. So let me just put it like this. If I was a potato, I would have been a baked potato. So heading into the convention, I was already a little bit paranoid because as I looked around, all I could see was a bunch of hippie dudes with beards and shit. And at the time, I was just repping that peach fuzz. I was standing out like a sore thumb. So you can only imagine how hard I was shitting my pants when my high ass saw a cop
walking in my direction. I instantly started brainstorming how I was gonna outmaneuver this cop so he doesn't send my ass to jail. So boom, busted a right, dropped the shoulder, hit a left, and I ran into this crowd of people. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, whenever something remotely scary happens while I'm zooted, I'm gonna be paranoid for the rest of my high. So in my high ass brain, I'm like a wanted criminal. I got 5 stars right now. So I'm out here constantly scanning the area for 12, right? But I start to make some notable observations. I realize half these motherfuckers are wearing sunglasses and it's not even sunny. Like, how the fuck did I miss the memo this bad? But luckily for me, there's hundreds of dudes selling overpriced random ass shit. So it really didn't take long for me to find a dude selling sunglasses. And even though it was 25 bones for these shitty ass sunglasses, I still cop them so I can hide my identity. And of course, the glasses have the devil's lettuce plastered all over them, but I'm El Chapo level wanted at this point. So I'm doing anything I can to hide my identity, including dropping my life savings on these dog shit glasses. So I'm out here pushing through these groups of people, but I'm keeping it low key. And as I'm scanning to the right of me and to the left of me, my dumbass pretty much walks right up to a cop. And the moment I realized that homie was right in front of me looking at me, I started to panic, bro. I felt like at this point, my best option was just to confess. Like, if I take the plea deal, I'll definitely get a lower sentence. But as I was stressing heavy, that adrenaline starts to kick in. And I know some of y'all can relate to this, but the scientific breakdown shows that when you're zooted and you get into a high stress scenario, the adrenaline gears up and starts beefing with the THC in your brain. Now, if you're lucky, the adrenaline will beat the THC's ass and will have you thinking properly in said stressful situation, which is exactly what happened to your boy. So as I transformed from a baked potato into a less baked potato, this is where the table really started to turn. I looked at this cop in the eyes and this motherfucker was more baked than me. Like, shit, at this point, I'm about to put this dude on citizen's arrest.
Officer, are you baked right now?
No, there's a... Sorry, There seems to be a lot of cannabis in the air right now, and so it's like...
This poor officer probably had to pull an 8-hour shift in the world's biggest hotbox while trying to do his job. And needless to say, after realizing the officers were fated than a hoe, I had no problem walking around with my peach fuzz mustache smoking on that Mary Jane. Damn, bro. We gotta get as high as this dude. Facts. How does this motherfucker get so baked? I don't even know. Let me check. Oh, here.
Yup. Just getting faded than a hoe out here at the fucking goddamn Burger King, you feel me? About to take my first smacking tin off the Benjamin.
Damn, it looks like we gotta hit the Benjamin in a Burger King. Yo, what the fuck is a Benjamin? I don't know, but I'm trying to find out. Yo, how's it going? Yeah, we're good, but I was looking to buy a Benjamin. Damn, you dudes are about to take a trip to Benjamin City, huh? Yeah, we're about to hit the Benjamin and things of that nature. Awesome. Here you go, Yodi gang. Thanks, man. Oh, and dudes, but between you and me, there's a Burger King next door, if you know what I mean. Thank you. Alright, so I guess we just walk in this bitch and start hotboxing this Burger King. Bro, isn't that illegal? I don't fucking know.
God damn!
This shit hits. Let me try.
Damn.
Unfortunately, you guys can't be doing that in our Burger King.
Nah. It's chill. We're just getting faded than a hoe. Wait, you're getting faded than a hoe? Yeah, we're getting faded than a hoe. Shit, I know you're getting faded than a hoe. My bad, Yodi gang. Nah, you're good. You want a little hit? Shit, I might have to take this Benjamin to Blinkerton City, you feel me? Yeah, I feel you. Damn, this Benjamin rips harder than a hoe.
Yeah, have a good rest of your shift, man.
Yeah, you too.
Fuck, did I just say you too?
Listen, I don't know about you, but this Benjamin got me feeling... Faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe.
Wait, are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Oh shit, is that? It can't be.
Need I say more, Yodi gang?
Holy shit, it's him, Damien Luck 925.
I am the original Fulcrum. Fulcrum, come in. Yup. Yo, gang, you feel me?
No way. We were literally just hitting the Benjamin in this Burger King.
Double Benjamin City session, shall we?
The double Benjamin? Damn, bro. We gotta try the double Benjamin. Yo, where are we?
I'm faded out here in Yodi land, you feel me?
No fucking way. It's a city full of Damien 925. Yo, this is crazy. Bro, these munchies are crazy. Facts, let's go cop some food. Holy shit. 7-Eleven is just full of motherfuckers hitting the Benjamin. The whole goddamn store is hotboxed. Yo, quick, buy the Doritos before I pass out. Oh, fuck. Hey, wake up. Wake up, hey. Hey, please wake up. I just... Hey, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Just got five things to say. Yeah, what is it? What is it?
Faded in a hole. 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 Need I say more? Hey, but you gentlemen have a good rest of your day.
Awkward conversations. We all know them and we all hate them. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that. Damn, you right. You right. So, how's your day going? My pet frog just died. Damn, that's tough. I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world. But let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Oh, fist bump. Oh.
Oh no! Sorry, nah.
Ooh.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah.
God damn it! After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it, cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Man, why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously, it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way? Situation. I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro. Alright, peace out. alright, bye. Bye. Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward. Man, what the fuck? And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart and we saw one of our neighbors. So we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life. It's clear. And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence. Yeah, that's funny. Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things.
Yeah, that's funny.
So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying?
Being absolutely faded in math class is one thing, but pulling up to school while you're hammered, wasted, absolutely plastered is simply a different ball game. Cause there's lots of people who can properly utilize that Mary Jane on a daily basis. For example, tattoo artists. In fact, I feel like majority of tattoo artists would say, it helps me work better, dude. And I would happily trust this man to do his best work knowing he's baked as shit. However, if this dude was wasted, it's a little bit of a different story. Alrighty, dude. All done. Yo, I asked for a rose, bro. And because of this reason, you would truly have to be a dumbass to go to school drunk. Chains, but the title of the video says going to school drunk. I did, bro. I went to school drunk. But listen, it was no ordinary day at school. No. In fact, I didn't even go in the day at all. I went drunk to the school dance. Meaning this story takes place when the boys and I were in grade 11. It was a Thursday night, the night of winter ball. And as the boys and I were getting ready, you know, looking like some distinguished young gentleman, I had realized, damn, none of us have any girls to take to the dance. Fuck, you're right. That means we're gonna have to ask a girl to dance, bro. You mean like
talk to them?
Yeah, if only we knew someone with a bigger roster than a cheerleading team. Someone with more hoes than a shed. Someone who pulls more tens than EDP. It's Bob! So me and Billy started analyzing Bob. Like, how does he pull so many girls, bro? Is it the jawline? I don't know. What about the silky, smooth, clear skin? Maybe. Or is it those succulent, luscious, kissable lips?
It's the glasses!
Yeah, the glasses, yeah. So we stole Bob's entire flow in the hopes this would put an end to my drought of bitches. So we check ourselves out in the mirror and then we hop into Billy's whip. We throw on some Rihanna to get us hyped, and before we knew it, we had arrived at school. Now to really paint the picture, it was a Thursday at 8 p.m. and on this Thursday at 8 p.m. Billy pops his trunk to pull out two bottles of vodka. Now if you were unaware, it was currently a Thursday at 8 p.m. on a school night, and we were headed into our school. Now logically, I should have simply denied the alcohol, but I'ma keep it a buck. The whole idea of walking up to a girl and asking her to dance was really giving me the heebie-jeebies. I mean, my palms were sweaty, my knees were weak, and arms were heavy, so I took a big old chug of that liquid courage in order to ease the nerves a little bit. And shit, Billy must have been feeling the same way, because Billy was down in that shit like it was water. And right after we consumed enough alcohol to kill a baby elephant, I got a notification on my phone. Oh shit, I got an email. Oh, it's from the school. It says, if you come to the winter ball under the influence of alcohol or any drug, you will face suspension and will lose your right to walk across the stage for graduation. Fuck. Okay, listen, if we can get into the dance before this shit hits, we're chilling. All right, we got this. So we walk into the school looking fresh as hell, but then I notice a fat line of students, and this line led to a security check to get into the dance. Fuck, that's not good. Nah, we're chilling. I still don't even feel anything. What about you? Yeah, same. We're good. And just as we came to the consensus that we were good, the principal starts walking down the line in our direction. Fuck, act cool. We're good. Act cool. Whew, that was close.
You three, over here.
Shit, fuck, shit.
Do you guys know why I called you over here?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I smelled alcohol the moment I walked past you three. Now, I don't know if it was one of you or all of you, but you know the consequences of showing up under the influence, right?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
And tell me, is it or is it not suspicious that all three of you guys showed up with glasses on?
Nah, we just thought it looked suspicious. Really?
Mm-mm. Take them off.
Damn.
Yes, right. Sir.
And although I downed a sizable amount of vodka, it still hadn't kicked in yet.
No, I didn't want to do this to you guys, but look at my finger.
This motherfucker starts waving around his magic finger in Billy's face with a flashlight to somehow see if he's drunk. Now, I don't know what the plan was, but I was fucking scared.
Okay. He's not bad. Oh, okay. He's good. Now let's see here.
And just as this motherfucker puts his finger in my face, that vodka hits, bro. I'm using all the strength I got to keep my balance while I'm getting blinded by this flashlight.
Let me try that again. I got a little feeling you guys drank, but it hasn't fully kicked in yet. I'll check up on you in a little
bit. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So we get to security and they make sure to pat us down. A little bit too good, but before we knew it, we were at the dance. And just like that, I saw my opportunity and I put that liquid courage to use. And you know, I'm very articulate when it comes to words, so I ask, Hi, how are you? Oh, hey, I'm good. So I wanted to ask you, like, you know, we're at the dance and, I saw you, so I walked over here. Here we are, you know what I mean? So like, do you want to dance?
Yeah, sure.
It had worked. My plan had finally worked. And just as I was about to feel the female touch I'd been deprived of for all these years, I see Mr. Principal walking in my direction with his finger ready and his flashlight in hand. So I just haul ass, and I don't stop hauling ass until I'm off school grounds. So the moral of the story is, don't go to school drunk, bro.
Space isn't empty. It contains everything that exists. Hey, bro, you think this mirror's good? Nah, it's in used condition.
What do you mean? Walmart doesn't sell used
mirror. Oh, we're using it right now. Damn, I've been hitting this joint for way too long. I should probably pass it to the next person. You ever thought about how most of the sky is actually below our feet?
No, it's right up there.
Holy shit.
Okay, guys, I'm gonna be your waiter for tonight. Just give me a second and I'll be right with you guys.
We are the waiters.
Bro, what are you talking about?
No, think about it. If we're waiting for the waiter, then we are the waiters.
Hey, nice belly button, bro.
Hey, thanks, man.
Your belly button is really your old mouth, by the way.
What the fuck?
Yo, is your thumb even a finger?
Fuck, man, I don't even know. It's kinda just a thumb.
So if your thumb isn't a finger, then there is no middle finger.
Hold up. If you were the first person in the world to break 2 world records, then that would be a world record. So you'd be the first person to break 3 world records. But then that would make it 4 world records. And that would make it 5 world records. Holy shit. Then it would be 6 world records.
Man, who the fuck named this shit a chair? Like, why a chair?
Hey, bro, I got you a milkshake.
Oh, thank you, man.
Does a straw have one hole or two?
Obviously it's 2.
No, but what if it's just like one long hole? What's the point of life? If you get a bigger bed, you have more bedroom, but you have less bedroom, you know, like bedroom, like.
Can I get a ice cream cone?
No, fuck you, the ice cream machine's broken.
Man, that's not fair.
Well, life isn't fair, buddy, so what do you want?
But if life isn't fair to everyone, then isn't life just kind of fair? Like, I just don't get it. Like, chair. Why is it a chair? You know, it could have been, like, anything. So your nose grows every time you cap. Yeah? What about it? So what if you just said your nose is going to grow? Well, that would be a lie, so then it would grow. Try it. My nose is going to grow. Yeah, I told you. But now that it grew, it's not a lie.
Whoa.
Bro, I'm way too baked right now. Here, eat an orange. It helps. Nah, hold up. Are oranges named oranges because they're orange? Or is orange called orange because oranges are orange? Just eat the fucking orange.
Boys, we got the pizza.
Let's go. Sir. Why the fuck is the pizza box square? Like, if the pizza is circle and a slice is a triangle. Yo, who the fuck invited this kid? Yo, can you pass the lighter really quick? Yeah, I got you. Wait, when you light your lighter gets lighter until your lighter is so light that your lighter won't light. Damn, that motherfucker's spitting right now. It just seems weird. Like, why the fuck is it a chair?
Chug, 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 chug.
Bro, God, you're crazy, bro.
Just one more.
No chill. Way.
Yeah, oh, let's shit. Go.
Are you good?
Ooh. Damn.
Blacking out drunk. It's not a fun experience. In fact, it's on the list of the top 3 worst things to experience, ranked just below giving birth. Now, if blacking out drunk is so bad, you may ask yourself, why do so many people do it? And truthfully, there are only a few reasons why one would inflict such a brutal pain on their liver. The first reason is impatience. Some motherfuckers just can't wait the 15 minutes it takes for alcohol to kick in, so they slam back one too many shots. And when that shit hits, that shit hits. Or secondly, peer pressure. I mean, to be fair, you will look cool as fuck for those 3 minutes where you're down in a bunch of vodka. Until you're lonely, gurping into the toilet, reconsidering your life decisions. Or, because it's yet another Valentine's Day, you will spend locked away in your room, drawing little stick men on your computer because you get absolutely zero bitches. Wow, so relatable, am I right? But if you've never been blackout drunk before, let me explain what it's like so you never have to experience it. Phase 1, I like to call smooth sailing. This is where you got a few drinks in you, but you're still chilling, or as many like to say, you're tipsy. But say, as you're observing your surroundings, you make an astounding discovery and find out the function has Hennessy. That shit will take you straight to phase 2. Sauced. At this point, you're just drunk, bro. You're doing some fuck shit, you're saying some fuck shit, and Lord knows you're probably thinking some fuck shit. Some symptoms that you're in phase 2 will include sunglasses appearing on your face, the sudden urge to steal traffic cones, hitting the nay-nay, staring in the bathroom mirror for 10 minutes and saying, "Damn, I'm drunk as fuck." Now, it's at this phase whether you decide you're gonna have a cool, fun night, or if you're gonna end up looking like Nate Robinson. Like, when you're offered more alcohol, don't drink that shit. I repeat, do not drink that shit.
Hey, do you want some of my drink?
Fuck no.
Do you want a sip of my-
Aw, shit. You done fucked up. That's the type of shit that will have you in phase 3, which I like to call, "Shit, I don't feel so good." As you can tell by the name, this is where shit starts to go downhill. You go from having a jolly old time to quivering on the floor with your liver fighting for its life. And this is the moment when your memory starts cutting out. You can remember some things here and there, but half of the night simply vanishes. And to be honest, that's gotta be for the better, bro, because I don't know if you wanna remember the pain of being in the downwards dog position while vomiting your guts out. It's not a fond memory. But to get to phase 4? God damn, the function would have to have a lot of fucking Hennessy. In order to get this drunk, you gotta be going through some shit. You gotta be in Spain without the S. You gotta be in Champagne without the sham. You gotta be going through some cock and ball torture without the cock and ball part. Or you gotta make a pretty big miscalculation, bro. Either way, you ingested enough alcohol to kill several farm animals, and this is roughly what you're gonna remember. Nothing, bro. You're not gonna remember jack shit. Pretty much 30 seconds after laying eyes on that juicy bottle of Hennessy, you teleported into your bed with a crazy headache and no recollection of what the fuck just happened, which takes you straight into stage 5. Grief. You go on your phone to ask the homies what happened last night, and the very first thing you see in the group chat leaves you frightened, appalled, in disbelief.
You thought I was killing you? That nigga munch.
Now, I don't know what gremlin takes over your body when you're blackout drunk, but there is no reason I should be throwing my shit back like Ice Spice. Well on video. Like, it's cool behind closed doors and all, but in public? The fuck? And I understand that consuming enough alcohol to make you forget the night completely has horrible effects on your body and kills an unholy amount of brain cells, but like, that's really not even the worst part, bro. Like, my brain can take one for the team, but my dignity? If I see one more video of me dropping that shit to the floor, I'm done, bro. That's it. You wake up the next morning not remembering a single thing, but as you see more videos, read more text messages, collect more data and evidence from that night, you begin to piece together the puzzle of a night that should not be remembered, leaving you in grief. But that's not all, no. Phase 6 is pain. Cause you don't even wanna feel the extent of a blackout hangover. That shit will have you feeling like you got hit by a bus. And shit, you might have actually got hit by a bus. You wouldn't know. Shit will have you feeling like one of those musty old chihuahuas. Now, I don't know exactly what it feels like to be one of these things, but all I know is you don't wanna be one of those musty old chihuahuas. I mean, it's not fun waking up all shaky with a throbbing headache and the urge to just stop existing. And every single time you blackout drunk, you tell yourself, I'm never getting this drunk ever again. Until the moment you realize the function has Hennessy. Honestly, bro, I'm not scared of much. I'd go skydiving, I'd swim with the sharks, run with the lions, fight a gorilla, beat some ass, and I'd even get my ass eaten. No, I would not. What the fuck? Wait, no. I mean, I'd even get my ass beaten, bro. But if there's one thing that leaves me scared shitless, it's a... But one day when I was 15 years old, my friends and I went to the gas station to get nothing more than a pack of Reese's. Alright, your total will be $2.50. Hey boy, step back. I got this. Put it on my car, bro. Oh, okay. Alright. I don't think your machine's working, bro. Hey kid, I hate to break the news to you, you know what I'm saying? But, I think your broke ass needs to get a job.
No!
So I got my first job at Jim Jordan's and I was grinding, bro. I made every coffee fresh, every customer happy, every toilet squeaky clean. I was putting the potato wedges in the goddamn bag until I'd stacked up my first few bands and I'd never seen this much money in my life. I thought I was rich, bro. So I quit my job. And then the government took some bands, I bought a few Fortnite skins, one ugly ass t-shirt, and before I knew it, I ended up exactly where I started.
Damn, dude, you fucking suck.
Your broke ass still needs to get a job, bro.
Man.
Firstly, my name is Chains, and I would love to work here at this summer camp.
All right, Chains, do you know how to read?
Yes, sir.
Do you speak English?
I do.
Can you count to 10?
Indeed.
Can you ride a bike?
Of course.
Do you like little kids?
Yeah, no. Final answer, no.
Alright, you're fired.
Wait, no, I love little kids.
Alright, you're hired. Now take this helmet and teach those kids how to ride some goddamn bikes.
Okay, yeah, thank you. Really quick, how much do I get paid?
As little as legally possible. Now get to work, buddy.
Alright. My boss threw my ass straight into the deep end, bruh. No training, no nothing. Now what's crazy is every other worker went to a training camp and was taught exactly what to do and exactly what to say. But one of those dudes quit last minute. They needed somebody, anybody to fill in, and that's the only reason they hired your boy. Anyways, I grab a bike, go outside, and there I see my group of 5 little 5-year-olds waiting for me. And I can see the hopes and dreams of learning to ride a bike glistening in each and every one of their little eyes. And I didn't want to let these little motherfuckers down, so I wasted no time and got straight to work. Alright, listen, it's simple. You get on your bike and you just start pedaling. Like, look at me go. Right, guys?
Shit. Listen, teaching one kid to ride a bike is legwork. You grab the seat, you push them, they pedal, they fall, then you pick them up and start gaslighting their ass like, wow, buddy, you did an amazing job. I've never seen somebody sweep the floor with their face before, man. Next time you can use your hands, though.
Thank you.
But the real problem is having five different kids with five different personalities and skill levels. Because the first kid was named Miles. But he couldn't ride a bike for 5 feet. Then we had a kid named Noah, who didn't know a single thing about how to brake. Parker, who couldn't park for shit. We even had a kid named Noel. But his little ass couldn't stop taking L's in James. But it was just one motherfucker, bro. Like, why is your name plural, bro? Where's the other one at? So my group's out here looking like five chimpanzees on bikes with one bigger chimpanzee supervising them. And I look over at my coworkers' groups, and these motherfuckers are out here biking in perfect unison, weaving through cones. I even seen a little kid doing no hands, bro.
Hey, James, look, no hands.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh shit.
Hey James, look, no teeth!
So after painting the pavement like Picasso, we get under the shade for some lunch break. And talking with these kids was such an interesting experience, bro, cause since I was their biking instructor, they just assumed I knew everything, bro.
Hey James, why is the sky blue?
Shit, I mean, it just
And we even decided that it'd be a Monday today.
Oh, that was definitely Abraham Lincoln.
Why does my sandwich taste like pennies?
That's the taste of blood, my
and
boy.
What's the biggest number?
Infinity.
How old are you? 300. What time is it?
12:37.
And why do my parents wrestle without any clothes on?
Yeah, mine too.
It's okay. Yeah, time to get back to riding bikes, bro. But this time when we got back out to riding bikes, I set up a cone drill. All right, group, lock in. Here we got an easy cone drill. You know what I'm saying? I'll show you how it's done. So you just want to go through the cones just like this. You know what I'm saying? I like to call this drill. Oh, fuck.
Wait, what's it called?
I don't know. I think it's called fuck.
Are you sure?
Fuck.
Yeah, nah. It's definitely called fuck.
Well, that's a weird name.
Okay, who's gonna fuck next?
Yeah, bro. I'm not gonna lie, I deadass fell. Like, there was no type of biking test in order to get the job. All they asked is if I could ride a bike, and I can. But I did not know we'd be doing NFL drills on these fucking bikes. But needless to say, when the parents came to pick their kids up from the first day of bike camp, they were not impressed.
Hey, there's my little man. What did we learn today?
Oh, you know, we just took the training wheels off. We got started on a few cone drills.
He showed us how to fuck.
Yeah, like,
okay,
man.
No, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is a catastrophic miscommunication.
And James told me I had the best grip.
Hey, yo, I'm the handlebars, brother. You gotta specify.
James says I have so much potential for a kid my age.
Okay, yeah, that sounds bad. That sounds really bad. Why does all this shit sound so bad?
He likes me better without any teeth.
I'm just trying to cheer him up, man.
He taught us to always use protection before riding.
Okay, that's enough.
He just stopped.
None of them came back, bro. So I got a new group, and the best part about this new group of kids is that they were already level 4, meaning we'd all just bike to the park, eat lunch, and then bike back. Damn, bro, that sounds easy as fuck. Surely this couldn't go any worse than your first group, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, nah, it gets worse. It gets so much worse. So for this little journey to the park, I'll pair up with my coworker, Natalie. So Natalie's in the front, and we got 10 kids in the middle. We'll call them Liam, Ava, Milo, Zoe, Tucker, Cornelius, Jackson, Bradley, Quandale Dingle Jr. III, and Riley, which is the only name you'll need to remember. So I count up the kids so we don't leave any behind, and as expected, I count 10. So we take off on our journey to the park, and all these kids were really good at riding, you know. Out of the whole group, we only had one little fall. But I just scraped my knee, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even cry or anything, bro. It wasn't even that bad. And before I knew it, we made it to the park. We all put our bikes down. Natalie and I ate our lunch while the 10 kids ran around and played. Liam and Tucker were playing tag. Zoe and Ava were picking flowers. Meatloaf and Quandale were eating cockroaches. Riley and Cornelius were in the bushes picking berries. And Jackson and Bradley were wrestling. And after a peaceful 45 minutes passed by, Natalie and I round everyone up to get back in line like we started. I count them up so we don't forget anyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we head back to camp. And after a very successful trip, the parents pick their children up one by one until Riley's very sweet mom shows up with a pack of 20 Jimbits to thank me for my great work taking care of her child.
Hey there, I just wanted to say I appreciate you so much for taking care of Riley today.
Yo, what? Thank you so much. You really didn't have to.
No, it's my pleasure, truly.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
So, where's my little guy?
Oh, he's right here. My heart drops straight to my stomach, bro. And as I'm looking around for Riley, I'm trying to recall the ride home, and I genuinely just don't remember seeing Riley at all. And that's when I remember
I last saw Riley playing in the bushes.
And this is where my heart goes back from my stomach and drops down to my testicles, bruh. To this day, my heart has never dropped so hard. This woman trusted me with her son, and I don't know where the fuck he is.
So, where is he?
Man, that right there is a great question.
What do you mean that's a great question?
You know, all the greatest questions in the world make you think, don't they?
Yes.
Right, and as you ask me this question, I really get to thinking, you know, like, I really get to rack in my brain, and well, to be quite frank, well, I'm stumped.
Okay. Okay, what do you mean you're stumped?
I don't know where Riley is.
What do you mean you don't know where Riley is?
Okay, yeah, you're not. Let's just put it like this. Do you know where Riley is?
No.
Yeah, not me either.
Ice cream.
Holy fuck, he's right there. Oh my god. Fuck, I knew it.
I thought this dumbass lost you.
I knew it the whole time. He's right there. It's April Fool's.
Give me these.
Yeah, take them. Oh my god. Jesus. God bless America. And that was genuinely the day I realized I can't work a fucking job. I'm not built for that shit, bro. I gotta start a Stickman YouTube channel or some shit.
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like, one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem. Like,
oh, hey, buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, what? Why haven't you been here, huh?
You know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
What I don't really want to talk about.
What family stuff?
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like, during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of,
Mrs. For Real, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson.
Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today, I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob.
Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come?
Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro.
Ass whoopings? You're getting ass whoopings?
Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt.
Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method?
Secret method?
You mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard?
No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinson's can't email your mom.
Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?
So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent / guardian, get that shit filled out, and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email, like,
bobsmom123 at gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Parkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Parkinson's, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Parkinson's." And I already know this dude, Mr. Parkinson's, was reading that email like, "Oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight." Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy. And I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me. And that was, as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences,
God damn,
she made up for every single beating I missed. My very first time getting a taste of that enchanted broccoli. It was a very special time in my life. In fact, it shaped me to become the stick man you see today. Now, if you've seen this video, you would know my very first time being baked was also my first time being drunk. Cause you see, what happened was I had ate some magic brownies and they didn't kick in for a while. So I came to the solid conclusion that, bro, these edibles ain't shit. So I chug some vodka and next thing I know, I'm fucking obliterated. And through me mixing these two substances for the very first time of trying each, I was unable to truly take in the full experience of being zooted. Cause I was fucking slumped. So fast forward about a month after the edible incident, me and Bob were trying to see what being baked really felt like. Keep in mind, we were in grade 7 at this point, and at Stickman Middle School, you got +3 clout points if you ever smoked some grass. So naturally, we were fiending for some Mary Jane, and we had just the person to call. Yo, Billy. Hey, what's up? Me and Bob were trying to smoke some marijuana.
Shut up. The feds might have tapped my phone, bro. Chill.
Oh, shit. My bad. I meant we're trying to blow some pipes.
Hey, yo, pause. What the fuck?
We're trying to inhale Satan's spinach? I don't know.
I bet. I got some gas for you boys. Meet me at Stickman Park at 6 p.m. sharp.
Okay, bet.
And soon enough, it was 6 p.m. sharp and we were posted at Stickman Park.
The homie Billy pulls up fully equipped with the gas.
Yo, we gotta find somewhere discreet to do this.
Oh, let's do it in the trees over there.
Alright, that works.
So we walk into this little forest with a bench in it and Billy whips out the pipe.
What the fuck is that?
It's a pipe. I took it from my sister's room.
Bro, are you sure you didn't accidentally take her dildo instead?
Shut up, bro. Lots of people smoke out of these bad boys.
I don't know. There's just something about the way that it's shaped.
Are we smoking or not?
Yeah, we're smoking.
And then Billy takes out a plastic bag with a thug ass.
Yo, take a whiff of this shit.
And at this point, I had never got a sniff of the za before. So when I did take a whiff,
damn, that's some strong shit right there.
Hell yeah.
And I got it from the plug for 50% off.
Damn, bro, this is gonna get us high as hell.
So Billy packed the pipe and handed it to me. He whipped out the lighter and said, "Suck it."
Hey, yo, pause.
Oh my. All right, inhale.
Oh, I got you.
And there it was, my very first hit of the Zaza. And I was coughing up a storm. And as Bob was taking his hit, I was sitting there like, am I high yet? Like, is this what it's supposed to feel like?
Nah, you gotta smoke some more to get baked.
So Billy packs some more into the pipe and hands it to me. I inhale.
But still nothing. So me and Bob are looking at each other like,
bro, are we like invincible or some shit?
I think so.
And Billy's like, no, you have to inhale and hold it in your lungs for as long as possible.
So I try it. I inhale, I held it, and then I was coughing up a storm again. We repeated these steps for like 20 minutes and still nothing. Now, me and Bob didn't know shit when it came to the topic of devil's lettuce, so we were just taking Billy's word for everything. Yo, don't worry, it'll hit you in like an hour. So we walk back to Bob's crib, and sure enough, an hour goes by.
Yo, are you high yet?
Nah, I still feel normal. What about you?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
So we waited and waited all night, and nothing happened. Now, a quick scientific analysis of the situation. What had happened was, Billy's plug saw that he was 13 and realized he could make a quick buck off him. So he had given him 50% off, however, he gave him straight stems. Now, if you're not sure what this means, let me break it down for you using, enchanted broccoli. Now, we all know that broccoli is a nutritious vegetable. However, a wide majority of the nutrients are packed directly in the broccoli crown, leaving the stem of the broccoli with very small amounts of nutrients in comparison to the top part. This means that eating the top part of the broccoli will indeed make you big and strong. However, the stem itself lacks the capacities to, quote unquote, make you big and strong, if you know what I'm saying. Remember, eat your broccoli. So essentially, me and Bob were smoking that doo-doo pack, smoking straight Reggie. So Bob and I felt as though we needed some redemption, and we knew just the perfect day to do it. April 20th, 420. So today was the day we would really know what being zooted felt like. So me, Billy, and Bob went over to our homie's house, cause we knew this homie in particular would have the facilities to celebrate April 20th. So we knock on his door, he lets us in, and the first thing this motherfucker says is,
so, are we smoking fat today or what?
Hey, yes, sir. Alright, follow me. So we followed the homie into his mom's room, and when he opened her closet, she was equipped with every kind of grass you could imagine. He snatched a few pre-rolls and we went to his backyard. He lit up the first J and passed it straight to me. And after all these years, it felt as though my entire life had led me up to this very moment. I took a hit and got my real first taste of that Mary Jane. So we passed around the J's for a bit and my eyes and mouth started to dry up. So I'm like, alright, I'm gonna go get some water really quick. And the moment I stand up, it all hits at once. I just remember everything going into slow motion, and it felt like I was watching myself in a movie. Almost like it was a third person perspective. So I head into the homie's bedroom and I lay down on his bed because I was really trying to comprehend what the fuck was going on. Cause my frame rates were dropping, my time perception was fucked, and I was hungry as shit. So when Billy, Bob, and the homie walk into the room with snacks, bro, I was a munch. And so for the rest of the night, the four of us just chilled out, ate some snacks, and enjoyed our very first time with that enchanted broccoli. April 20th, 420, the day when everyone puts their differences aside and they just hotbox the Earth's entire atmosphere. Man, what a time to be alive. Now, I don't know if any of y'all have gone to one of those 420 conventions before, but goddamn, these motherfuckers be getting higher than Buzz Lightyear, bro. Like, at this point, they aren't even baked. They're fucking fried. They just be walking around hotboxing cities at a time. And anyone in a 500 foot radius is gonna start feeling the effects of that Mary Jane. Like, I remember my first time going to one of these things and I was still a minor with an O. However, I had done some pregame before the convention. So let me just put it like this. If I was a potato,
I would have been a baked potato.
So heading into the convention, I was already a little bit paranoid because as I looked around, all I could see was a bunch of hippie dudes with beards and shit. And at the time, I was just repping that peach fuzz. I was standing out like a sore thumb. So you can only imagine how hard I was shitting my pants when my high ass saw a cop walking in my direction. I instantly started brainstorming how I was gonna outmaneuver this cop so he doesn't send my ass to jail. So boom, busted a right, dropped the shoulder, hit a left, and I ran into this crowd of people. And I don't know about y'all, but for me, whenever something remotely scary happens while I'm zooted, I'm gonna be paranoid for the rest of my high. So in my high ass brain, I'm like a wanted criminal. I got 5 stars right now. So I'm out here constantly scanning the area for 12, right, but I start to make some notable observations. I realize half these motherfuckers are wearing sunglasses and it's not even sunny. Like, how the fuck did I miss the